this in your name. Amen.
Amen. He is worthy. And dude, I'm so glad that you're here today. Welcome. My name is Chris. I'm a lead pastor here at Grace River. Really glad that you're hanging out with us today. Welcome. Hey, we've got a few people looking for seats. And so if you're like at the end of an aisle and there's space, just kind of go in so they can have a seat. That'd be amazing. And man, I love it that you're here. Welcome to Grace River. Dude, it's wild. Fall kickoff is absolutely crazy out there. A lot of fun tailgate activity after the service that you want to make sure that you get in. And so get in on. It's going to be great. And hey, I want to remind you, we do church every weekend here. And if you're looking for a better seat, come to the 8:30 or the 11 o'clock, okay? So that's my encouragement to you. 8:30 people are mega spiritual. They show up early, and the jokes are pretty unhinged because nobody filters my stuff. And so that's the benefit of 8:30, just so you know. So, like, it's usually the staff meets with me after the first service and says, hey, you can't make that joke, you can't say that. So if you want to see some crazy stuff, 8:30 is the one that, and if a joke goes bad, I still do it usually in the 9:45, but it's good. It's good. Hey, man, I'm really glad that you're here. Welcome. We're going to have a good time today, and I'm excited about what God's up to in your life. I think that we start a brand new sermon series today called Find My Faith, and it's based off of the idea of us searching and pursuing God. I really think that there are a lot of people today that are more sensitive than normal when it comes to the matter of faith. I don't know, the last couple of weeks, just a lot going on. Paul alluded to it earlier in our country. And so a lot happening, a lot taking place. And I think it leaves us all kind of wondering, okay, God, what do I do with this? And I would tell you, I think there's something inside of the heart of every single human being that longs to be with their Creator. And I think we try to fill that up with other stuff sometimes. And the premise of this series is figuring out how it is that you can find your faith. But today we're talking about the fact that God is already looking for you. And it's really kind of based off of, 6 months ago we had this idea for the sermon series. And the inspiration for it was the Find My iPhone app. Now, I know that's a weird inspiration, but like, and I'm not picking on Android people. I don't know how you guys find your phones when they're missing. But for me, my family operates off of the Find My iPhone app, and the idea is if you lose your phone or if you don't know where your kids are at, you can go and look and say, oh, I don't have to even call or text them. I know they're at their friend's house or I know they're working or whatever. And so it's a great app. I like using it. It's also on my watch, and so if I lose my phone in my house, I can just swipe up on my watch, hit a button, and then my phone starts making a noise, which is really awesome and super helpful. But recently, I was on a trip with my son in San Antonio. We went to a Red Rocks worship concert in San Antonio, and actually, Zach sang one of their songs this morning. Awesome worship stuff. If you want to look up some great worship music, Red Rocks Worship. I don't even work for them. I'm just telling you, really great stuff. And so we were in San Antonio, and we had some time to kill, and so we went to like this shopping district, got some coffee. But to get there, we had to take an Uber because we didn't rent a car. Everything in like downtown San Antonio is kind of all closed. So we just Uber to this location. But I made a gigantic error, a big party foul on our trip. I left my phone in the Uber. And I realized it as I closed the door and he takes off. Like, it's just that moment, cell phone, wallet, keys, like just a quick check. Well, I'm like, wallet, I don't have my keys because I'm not driving a car. And I do the double pat, losing my mind. Is it in my, no, my phone is in the Uber and he's taking off and he's at like a stop sign. And I don't know, I still think I'm fast. You know what I'm saying? Like, I underestimate the fact that I'm not fast. Like, I overestimate my speed. I think in my mind, I can catch up with this dude as he's taking off. And so I go into full sprint. I got a bottle of water in my hand. I'm kind of obsessed with always having water with me. And so, like, and I think instinctually, I go to throw the bottle of water. Like, I'm like, maybe I could just hit his car. I'm like, don't do that. But I'm just running as fast as I can. And he soon gets out of sight. And I'm like, okay, how do I get a hold of Uber when the Uber car has my phone? So fortunately, my son has a cell phone. I was able to log into my Uber account. I was able to log into the Find My Phone account. So I'm watching my phone go to the airport in San Antonio to pick somebody else up. I'm all stressing out about it, like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? Like, our concert tickets are on my phone. Like, that would be terrible. Trying to figure this whole thing out. Like, I've just ruined our weekend together in San Antonio with my son. Well, comes to find out, Uber is, I guess lots of people do this, and they actually, in the app, I downloaded the app on his phone, logged in, and I was able to communicate with the driver real quick. And 20 minutes later, I was reunited with my phone. But like, man, I was big time stressing out about losing my iPhone. And the reality is, when it comes to our faith, there's a lot of different things that happen that can allow us to lose our faith. In fact, and we're going to actually look at the Bible today, Luke chapter 15 tells a story of a lost sheep. And I think this is such an interesting story because it's a callback to math problems whenever you were in elementary school. Like, I didn't like math in elementary school. It was hard for me to get my head around. But for whatever reason, I did like word problems, you know, like Johnny has 10 apples, you know, Becky takes 2 of his apples. How many apples does he have left? You know, he has 8, right? Like, I liked that. Like, for me, like, that was easier for me to get my head around, right? Well, in Luke 15, it's a word problem. And just follow along with me. This is such an interesting story. If you don't know anything about the Bible, I think you'll pick this up really quick, okay? Luke 15, verse 1. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. I love that, by the way. We're going to take a quick time out. Verse 1 is super interesting. Tax collectors and notorious sinners came to listen. They often came to listen to Jesus teach. Dude, if you feel like you don't belong here, because of your sin or your shame or your guilt or your remorse or whatever, I want you to know you're in really great company, okay? Because all of us need Jesus. All of us technically are notorious sinners. Sin is this. Sin is knowing the right thing to do and not doing the right thing. That's what sin is, okay? And so this is like, this is wild because you would think the people that would gather to hear Jesus teach would be like really religious people, you know, people that have their act together. No. It was tax collectors who, by the way, tax collectors were very shady at the time period, so they didn't have a lot of accountability like the IRS has today. Like, they were shady, shady people. So they were people that didn't have a lot of integrity and notorious sinners. So notorious sinners would be like the drug dealers of the day or the prostitutes of the day. This is a big deal. So I just need you to understand, this isn't some flowery group of people watching Jesus teach. This is some people with some baggage. This is some people that have wandered away from God. And here it is, verse 1. Tax collectors and notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. So, again, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. You matter to God and you matter to us. Verse 2. So I love that. That's just built into the introduction. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So the religious people of the day, they did not like this, okay? And religious people are cranky, by the way. I want you to know, I want our church not to be full of religious people, okay? And I know that sounds crazy to you. You're like, wait, you're a church. What's that mean, okay? Religion is man's attempt to get to God on their own. That's what religion is. We are all about relationship here. You know that relationship that Jesus had with those notorious sinners? That's what we're about. We're about having relationship with people. We're about having dinner with people. We're about hearing people's stories. Like, I love that because Jesus modeled that. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Like, these religious teachers were hypocrites. Like, they would act one way and live out a different way. And you know the best way to fight hypocrisy is this. Admit that you're broken. And I'm going to do that right now. I admit that I'm broken. Like, I admit that I don't have it all together. In fact, if you're looking for a perfect church with a perfect pastor, you should go check out another church next weekend because that doesn't exist here. Like, we're all a broken mess here. I don't glow green at night. I'm not a perfect person. And so that's really important because I'm going to let you down one of these days. Like, if I haven't already, it's going to happen. Then in verse 3, so Jesus, I'm quoted as, I'm going to let you down one day. So just if we ever have that conversation, I told you. So, okay, so Jesus told them this story. If a man, here's the word problem. If a man had 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Well, I'll tell you what I would do. If I had 100 sheep and I lost one of them, I'd be like, well, hey, I got 99. That's pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Like, a 99% on anything for me. I mean, D is like my favorite letter. That's how I graduated college. I mean, I mean, 99, that's pretty amazing. You know, like to think that's, I don't know. I just leave it alone. I'd say, well, because more than likely, the shepherd that is in charge of the sheep, these aren't actually his sheep. He's getting paid to watch these sheep. So he's got, on the socioeconomic scale, he's got a lower job. He's got a job that people aren't like going, you know, like little kids dream of being like a firefighter or an astronaut, you know, a policeman or whatever. No one's dreaming of being a shepherd, but that's in this story, that's where we find ourselves, right? So this shepherd, he's a hired hand, and he's thinking, if it's me, I'm like, well, dude, 99, I did pretty good. But there's a curveball to the story. Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? So he leaves these 99 found ones, maybe with his friends, his shepherd friends, or maybe he even leaves them alone. We don't know. But he leaves those 99, and he goes on a rescue mission for the one. He says he's going to go and search for the one until he finds it. It's kind of a rhetorical question that gets asked here. And when he has found it, so he's going to go find it. When he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. So he's not going to kick the sheep, right? He's not going to like put a leash around it and drag it home. He's not going to insult it or shame it. No, he's going to pick that sheep up in all of its filth and dirty. Like this would have been a dirty sheep. It was lost, right? Dingleberries hanging off the bottom of it. Like this is gross, you know? He picks that sheep up and puts it on his shoulders and carries the sheep home. I did research on this, actually, and this was common. This is how a shepherd would care for his sheep. Whether it was a lack of patience or whatever it may be, instead of walking it back, because they're wanderers. Sheep in and of themselves are kind of dumb. And the hard thing about that is God compares us as sheep, right? Maybe one of those conversations you want to have with God in heaven one of these days, right? Like, okay, why the sheep? Could we have not been a dog? I feel like dogs are kind of smart, not quite as dumb as sheep. At least they'll come when you call their name most of the time, right? It's not like a cat. I'm kidding. All right, if you're new here, we make fun of people sometimes, and there's a certain group of people we make fun of. We make fun of Android people, and we've already done that today. We make fun of cat people, non-chief fans. We make fun of those people, all right? And people from Southern Illinois. So that's our... Sorry. And if you're all four of those, I'll get you a gift card. I'm really sorry. I feel like you need some help, and we'll help you out. Look at what happens when he returns home here in verse 6. When he arrives with the sheep on his shoulders, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep." In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So let's talk about this for a second. Why do people lose their faith? What is it that makes someone wander away? What is it? Well, the first thing is, I think suffering is one of the reasons why we wander away from God sometimes. Like you pray about something and God doesn't answer your prayers. You're going through something. It doesn't make sense to you why God wouldn't do this for you. You're praying for a promotion, or maybe it's some kind of a health diagnosis. You're praying for a friend and it doesn't go your way. And you're like, okay, wait a second. I'm suffering. And if there is a loving God, then why would I go through what I'm going through? I think that's, personally, man, I've been there in my own faith. Like I've prayed for friends to get better and they don't. And you're like, man, what just happened? I prayed for a job and then not gotten it. And thinking, okay, what just happened? You know, I've even in my own life, just financial things and all those different, like I've experienced suffering and I'm like, man, if there's a loving God, then why? Another reason why people lose their faith is their own sin. So sin is just simply knowing the right thing to do, again, I defined it earlier, and then not doing that thing, right? Like doing the opposite of what you know is right. And sin, man, it trips us up. What I wish about sin is I wish that sin was packaged up in ugly ways, in smelly ways, in nasty ways. But what's really crazy about sin is packaged up really attractively. Like sin looks good, smells good, and feels good. And you're just like, man, I should do this. I deserve this. But what you find out really quickly about sin is this: it will jack you up. And the very thing that you thought it would do for you, like you thought it would fulfill you, but what you end up finding is it ends up wrecking you. And in the wreckage, we can often feel a distance between us and God. But I want you to know when it comes to God and His grace and His goodness, that there doesn't have to be that distance. That even though you can take a million steps away from God, it's one step back into a right relationship with Him. The third reason why we sometimes feel like we're lost or feel like we've lost our faith is because of shame. Like, man, you've experienced some shame in your life. Maybe you've made some mistakes and you experience shame. And because of the shame, you allow the perception of others or what others may think about you to keep you from the greatest relationship that you could ever have. I want you to know, you may even feel that shame from God, and I want you to know something. God's not ashamed of you. Like, God loves you, man. If there's a fridge in heaven, your picture's on it. He's crazy about you. You know what God wants? God wants you to come home. God doesn't want you to experience shame. I love it in the story that the shepherd picks the sheep up. The shepherd doesn't even want the sheep to experience shame. He says, all right, let's go. Let's pick you up and let's take you back, right? There wasn't some heckling that happened. There wasn't some big judgment that happened. There wasn't, I told you so, or for the 100th time, when are you going to listen to me and not wander away? No, there was none of that shame. He picked the sheep up and brought it home. The fourth reason why we sometimes lose our faith is seasons in our lives. Like, we just go through things in our lives with busy seasons, with crazy, chaotic seasons. And I want you to know something, man. No matter what season you're in today, whether you got a house load of kids or you're an empty nester or you're waiting on kids or whatever it may be, I just want you to know, you will always be busy, okay? And your life will never be easier than it is right now. And so what I would tell you is this: would you decide to prioritize the most important relationship and make a decision to say, dude, in this season in my life, in fall of 2025, I'm going to make God a priority. And the fifth thing is substitutes. The reason why we stray away from God, the reason why we lose our faith is oftentimes because of substitutes that we've allowed into our lives. Things that take the place of God. And we would never say it out loud initially. Like, you would never say, I'm going to allow my job to take God's place. We don't say that stuff out loud. Or my money to take God's place. Or my kids, or my spouse, or my things, or my status that I'm trying to prove to other people on social media. Like, we would never say that out loud, okay? But what ends up, it's just something that gradually ends up happening, and we end up accepting these substitutes. And what we find out is these substitutes don't fulfill us the way God designed to fulfill us. And that's what happens. And you may be wandering in your faith. You may be far from God. You may be feeling like, man, I feel distant from him. I want you to know, if you feel distant from God, it's not him, it's you. Because the shepherd is pursuing you. And so don't accept the substitutes. So steps to being found, real quick. First of all, the first step to being found is recognizing that you've strayed away. So the sheep strayed away. I think it's important to acknowledge and to admit, hey, I've been away from God. I need to reconnect with him. And that's the basis of this whole story, and that's the basis of where you're at today, is that for whatever reason, you strayed away. Maybe it was a season thing. Maybe it was a sin thing. Maybe it was a shame thing. Like, I don't know what it was for you, but ultimately, you strayed. But what I love is the shepherds sought out the sheep, and that's what God did for us. God went on the greatest rescue mission ever, because he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to come pursue us. The really great thing about this story is the story is really about us and God. And God pursuing you. You know who the great shepherd is? The great shepherd is Jesus. That you and I were pursued. So the basis of this series is called Find My Faith. But here's the interesting thing about this week. This is a three-week series, and I want to challenge you to come back in the remaining weeks, because I think there's going to be some really great takeaways for you, right? What's really interesting about Find My Faith, though, is that we have a God that's pursuing us. Like, we have a God who's searching for us, who's seeking after us. And so the shepherds sought after us. Man, the third thing is the sheep surrendered. So, like, the sheep didn't put up a fight. Sheep kind of have some nasty teeth. Could have bit the shepherd. No, the sheep just said, all right, I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. And I wonder if that's your day-to-day to go, man, you know what? I'm ready to go home. Like, I'm ready to surrender to what God has for my life. Like, his plan instead of my plan. The fourth thing is the sheep was saved and found real security. You know, what's interesting about sheep is they're defenseless. So the reason why they have shepherds watching sheep is because wolves can come, thieves can come, and the shepherds are there to protect the sheep. That's the whole point of the shepherd. But the sheep was saved and found real security in the shepherd. I want you to hear a friend of mine's story. Her name's Becky Robbins Main, and I met Becky years ago in the Chamber of Commerce. In fact, she was at launch Sunday at Grace River Church over 10 years ago. And it's been kind of fun to watch Becky's journey over the years. I want you to hear her story. Watch this.
Hello, my name is Becky Robbins Main, and my husband and I have been attending Grace River for a couple years now. I grew up in Southern Illinois. I developed early on a probably unhealthy coping skill of be a people pleaser, make sure everybody likes you, be good, be pretty, put a smile on your face. Nobody needs to know what's going on. And after high school, things started to get a little rough at my house. My mom and dad were getting close to divorce. So after a pretty big argument we had one day, I moved in with my boyfriend at the time. The boyfriend wanted to get married. I said yes because I felt like I really didn't have any other option. I was pretty separated from my family and didn't know what else to do. We were 19, and life is hard when you're trying to be an adult and you're not. That marriage lasted about 2 years. Shortly after, I met my second husband, and he was 7 years older than me. He had a good job, he had a nice car, and I thought, this guy will take care of me. But because I was broken and looking for all the wrong things, I didn't realize that he was broken as well. Because of that unhealthy coping skill that I learned early on in life, I thought, that's okay, I can fix this. I can control any situation. I was trying to live the life that I thought God wanted us to live. I was going to women's Bible studies. I got very active with my with the women's ministry group at church. They knew what all I was going through, but I felt like I was in a safe spot. One day, I found out that one of my best girlfriends in this group had deceived me. And that rocked my world. It rocked my family. It rocked my trust. I grieved the loss of that friendship. And I said, I'm done. I'm done with God. I am done with church. If you said you were a Christian, I was probably going to turn and walk the other way. I didn't want anything to do with it. I said, I'm just going to stiff arm God and I'm going to put him over there. And that's when I decided I put me in charge of my life. I had been disappointed and let down too many times and hurt. And I just put up these walls and that was not going to happen again. So my marriage ended after 20 years and I felt like a big failure. I felt like I couldn't do enough to make it work. I didn't do it right. It was just me and my boys, and I was scared. But God had a plan, and during that time, I clung to Jeremiah 29:11. Know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. And I believed that he did. 12 years later, I am remarried to a wonderful man. And together we have a blended family of 4 children and life was good. But I was still carrying around this survival mode because that's what I was used to. That's what I was comfortable in. I knew how to handle survival mode because I was in charge. I felt the need to always be prepared, always be ready. I still had my walls up and I felt things, life starting to slip away and slip out of control. So one day as I was sitting praying about things, I really felt God speak to me and say, it's time. A calling has been placed on your life and it's time. It's time for you to come back to me. And so I shared that with Dan and we said, we need to get back to church. And that's when we found Grace River. There isn't anyone who can make you feel loved more than Jesus can. So if you're looking for love in all the wrong places, if you're looking for fulfillment in your career, in your family, in your husband, in alcohol, whatever your vice is, whatever you're looking for, I'd encourage you, look to God. Look to God, because it all changed when I did.
I love her story because I feel like we can all identify with it at some level. She strayed away. And I wonder today for your next steps as you think about what's next for you, is maybe today it's the day to recognize, man, I need to stop wandering. Like, I've got a God who's pursuing me. I got a God who's crazy about me. Isn't it crazy to think about this God of this universe is pursuing you? Like, it's no mistake that you're here today. Not at all. Maybe a friend invited you. Maybe this is your routine. Maybe it's your first Sunday back to church in a super long time or ever. And I just want you to know, it's not by mistake that we've got a God who's pursuing us today. And you may have wandered 100 miles from him. And I want you to know, it's one step back. And it's really the step of surrender. And so I would say stop wandering and then just decide I'm going to surrender to him daily. That instead of doing my own thing, making up my own rules, living my life, calling the shots, which, by the way, how's that going for you? Like, I know in my own experiences, whenever I'm like, hey, I'm running this thing, I typically run it into the ground. And so maybe today it's the day to go, you know what, I'm going to surrender. My life is his. You know, God gave up his life so that he could be with you. He gave up his one and only son, Jesus. He surrendered Jesus from heaven to earth to die on the cross for my sins, for your sins, for my guilt, for my shame, for your shame, all of it on the cross. So it's only reasonable that this God who gave up everything would ask you to say, what if you gave up your everything? What if you said, God, I'm all in. I surrender my life to yours. And part of that surrender is that you would just stay with the shepherd. That instead of wandering off, like right now you're inspired and you're like, yeah, man, let's go live for Jesus. But would you do it tomorrow? Like, would you stay with him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? Like, would you open God's word and read it this week? Would you crack open a journal and begin to pray and write out your prayers and like really get into this, that you would stay with him? But maybe you're here today and, to be honest, you've never entered into a relationship with God. Like, in the metaphor, you're the sheep that has never returned. And maybe today's the day that you would just surrender to him and say, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. That you recognize that Jesus didn't just come from heaven to earth so that Christianity would have a cool logo, but that you would recognize that it was him. It was his perfect life as a substitute for all of my imperfections. And really today, to make him Lord of your life, what it looks like is it's admitting that you're broken. In the service earlier, remember when I said that I'm broken? Like, it comes to an admission where you recognize, I need God. I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. So admitting, and then believing that it was not my good works, not my achievements, not the things that I could accomplish in this lifetime that would make me right with God. Your good will never outweigh your bad. Maybe today the good news for you is believing that Jesus was enough. That it was his life and it was period, nothing else. Listen to me. Some of you grew up in religious environments where you were taught or it was caught that you had to do all this extra stuff to be accepted by God. And I want you to know, it's not about your achievements. It's only by God's grace that you and I are saved. That's it. Nothing else. Not your baptism, not your good works, not your money, not your achievements, Jesus, period. So that you would admit, that you would believe that it's Him and Him alone, and that you would confess with your heart and with your life, Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And man, if you have never done that, I want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Him today, to begin that relationship with Him. And maybe your next step is one of these other three things. If you're a Christian today, would you identify what your next step is? But if you're not a follower of Jesus yet and you're ready to be, would you bow your heads, all of us together? If you don't know Jesus yet, you can pray a prayer just like this. God, I admit that I need You. I've done this journey too long on my own, and God, I'm ready to give You my life. I admit that today. God, I believe that it was Your only Son on the cross that purchased my freedom and my salvation. God, I believe that today. And I confess with my heart and with my life, You and only You to be my Lord and Savior. Thank You for saving me, for changing me, for pursuing me and making me new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, hey, if you just said yes to Jesus in this moment, let me be the first to congratulate you. You're not meant to keep that to yourself, though. And man, we are here to help you and encourage you along your spiritual journey. And so would you just text BEGIN to the number on the screen and let us know that you made that step? We want to kind of help you continue on in that relationship with Jesus. And a next step for you might be baptism and baptism class. Those are coming up soon. Use the QR code to find out information about those, but that's going public with your faith. And maybe that's something that you've been kind of, that's been weighing on you for a while. Would you take that next step as well? And again, today we got fall kickoff happening after the service. Go out there, hang out, spend some time there, have fun at the different games and get some food and all that kind of stuff. Remember, you can use the QR code that you'll see when you exit the auditorium, when you exit the building here. Scan that QR code to win the Yeti cooler. Also, if you've never jumped in on a Join a Serve team, now's a great time to do that. That's at kind of the end of the runway there of tailgating. And use this QR code there. Sign up to Join a Serve team. You can win $100 to Zia's and Elevation Worship tickets and that kind of stuff. And so we'd love for you to jump in on that as well. And then I want to encourage you, would you, as you kind of step into the fall here, would you just find a place to step in? We need community. We need people around us. We need to be moving with people who are moving in the same direction as us. And that will do wonders for you and your relationship, not only with God, but then your relationship with others as well. I want to thank you so much for giving here at Grace River as well. Nothing happens without the faithful giving of people who call Grace River their home. And in the chaotic world that we're living in, your giving makes a real difference in the lives of real people in St. Charles County and really even around the world. So thank you so much for being a part of that. And lastly, I want to encourage you, especially if you're kind of stepping in for the first time or the first time in a long time, would you take a 3-week challenge? And would you come back these next couple of weeks? You already got one of the weeks down, so you just come the next 2 weeks to find my faith. Just step in and see what God might do. Like, we have this good shepherd who's pursuing you. And so we love you. We're praying for you. Why don't you stand with us? We're going to sing one last song together. The joy of the Lord, He is our strength. Let's worship Him.